This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Photographer Richard Brown moved to the Northeast Kingdom in 1971, and there he began photographing Vermont's vanishing hill farms. 40 years later, he's collected those pictures in a new book, The Last of the Hill Farms, Echoes of Vermont's Past. Even in the early 70s, Brown says he was looking for moments that captured a vanishing past.
I've just always been drawn to old things and the past, and I think they're very beautiful, and there seemed to be an awful lot of them still in Vermont in the early 70s. And so I would go looking for them. And there's sort of things that I would look for. I mean, if there was smoke coming out of the chimney in the middle of the summer, I knew they were cooking on a wood stove. Or if they had a draft horse down behind the barn, I would search around looking for what I knew was going to be a wonderful opportunity to get kind of photographs I was looking for.
Well, the photographs are beautiful, but it seems that you also made some pretty profound connections to some of the families that you photographed.
Yes. I developed a relationship with most of these people. A photographer I really admired when I got started was Paul Strand, and he would say, I go to an area, I settle in, I might even not take a picture for, I don't know, several months, half a year. I need to sort of know what it is there that I want to capture, and to get the confidence and the trust of the people I'm photographing. I guess some of that must have sunk in. I rarely would just photograph somebody cold, almost never. You know, these were people I'd grown to know fairly well.
How do you gain someone's trust when you admittedly come in saying, I'm a photographer?
Well, it can be very difficult, but not in this case. The people who'd lived here for several generations could not have been more welcoming, more kind, more relaxed. It was just a new experience for me. They were very unselfconscious about being photographed to the point where I almost felt invisible sometimes. So I really appreciated that.
Will you give us an example of that? I'm thinking of John and Gladys Summers and family.
They are the crown jewels.
They get a whole chapter in this book to themselves.
Yeah, they do. Well, here's how I met them. I was driving around early one morning. I saw there was going to be this spectacular sunrise. It's right after I'd moved to Peacham, and they lived in the adjoining town of Barnet, maybe half a mile away. And I knew it was wrong, but I had to get up on the hill behind the farm so I could capture this. I didn't know whether I'd ever see something exactly the same. So I went up there. I set up my big camera, taking a picture. And then as the light came up and I was done, I saw this figure came out the back door of the farmhouse and sort of started coming in my direction. I said, oh, boy, now I'm in trouble. And he shouted up to me. He said, when you're all done, come on down, have some breakfast with us.
That's wonderful.
So, you know, this was not untypical.
How do you avoid that romanticization of what could often be a very difficult life? And, you know, we like to act like, oh, back in the past things were better. But, you know, things were dangerous and hard. And, you know, no electricity might sound lovely until you actually have to live that way. So how do you avoid making something that was very difficult, but also people's real lives, romanticized?
I figure if you never knew what it was, you don't miss it. I mean, now, there's only one farm, I think, Theron Boyd's place, where there literally was no electricity. So the Summers were living a comfortable life. Mm-hmm. That was a time when I think they might argue with me, I don't know, but it was still possible to make a good living on a modest dairy farm. They seemed, you know, their grandchildren were all around. They seemed to have, they didn't obviously have a luxurious life, but it seemed like a very good life. That's why I settled in that area. There was a lot more of that feeling than where I came from, originally outside of Boston, and then I taught school for a while down in Jacksonville, Vermont.
Tell me a little bit about how you did find your way to the Northeast Kingdom. This was right around 1970 that you arrived, right?
71. Yeah, I started teaching, but mainly so I could be a photographer in 69 in Jacksonville. I wanted to be a photographer. I just figured this was a good way to try and, you know, have some income while I tried to do it. And then I just sort of made the leap, came up to Peacham settled in there, because I had traveled all over the state looking for photographs, and that particular area I fell in love with. And also I had some history there. My great-grandfather had been headmaster of Linden Institute in Lindenville, and I'd always heard about that when I was a kid, and my parents would come up in that area when I was little, and we'd go camping and so forth. I knew about it. I had always really been drawn to it. I just thought it was the greatest place I'd ever seen.
Can you talk to me a little bit about the equipment that you used for these photographs? I understand you had a camera that, talking about anachronistic, was kind of anachronistic even in 1970.
Well, yes and no. I mean, a lot of serious photographers used large format equipment. It's what Ansel Adams used and mm-hmm. so forth. For landscape work, you can't beat it, although it's exhausting to use. It's a very heavy thing. I think my equipment, all told, probably weighed, I don't know, 50, 60 pounds. You lug it up a hillside, and you have to see what you want to photograph, because then you've got to put that dark cloth over your head, and what you see on the ground glass is upside down and backwards. And so you have to sort of picture what the picture is, and then you have to check the corners and make sure it's in focus, and then you have to hope nothing moves. And so they have a very distinctive flavor. I don't know how else to put it.
They're beautiful.
The quality, the richness of the tone, the sharpness is unbelievable mm-hmm. because it's such a huge negative. But it also affects the subject, because for one thing, you're not behind it. You're standing off to one side with your cable release, so they're not quite so aware of sort of you pointing something at them. Their selves come out, I think, a little more clearly. I don't know how else to put it.
Why bring out these pictures again and try to give them this new life in this book and bring people in 2017, 2018 to these hill farms from the 70s, which in the 70s were, you know, throwbacks to an earlier time?
Well, I'd have to be honest and somewhat immodest. I think they're my best work. It was what I passionately cared about. I think I was lucky to have still been able to find this subject matter. This was the first book I thought I was going to do. And I actually ran across an ancient copy of Audubon magazine. And, you know, when they have the little blurb on their contributors, it said, Richard Brown is working on his first book. It's called The Last of the Hill Farms. It was about 1973. So that's a little embarrassing. But
no, it's wonderful. I mean, think about that. It didn't unfold the way you wanted it to, but here you are now, and here's the book. I mean, it actually happened.
Yeah, it's great. And the whole digital thing, again, I just, you can now make prints or you can make files for reproduction that you couldn't possibly do. Or the color, for instance. This is printed in duotone. I wanted that sort of slight sepia look. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about printing in duotone. It's the first black and white book I've ever done. But it came out beautifully.
Is there a photo, Richard, that you would like to leave us with to have us think about in our heads, even if people are listening and can't see it right this moment?
I love the picture of Theron Boyd at a stove cooking his dinner. I mean, it's just got this beautiful light, and he's concentrating on whatever it is he's cooking.
And it's a wood stove, right? I mean,
Oh, yeah. And there's a picture of a team with a hand plow in this beautifully plowed field that you couldn't possibly do with a track. I mean, the craftsmanship of this gentleman, Everton Randall was his name, and it's just, I like that picture a lot. Hmm.
Well, congratulations on the book. It's really stunning, and I appreciate you telling us about your experiences and your method. Thank you so much, Richard.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity.
That was photographer and writer Richard W. Brown discussing his new book, The Last of the Hill Farms, Echoes of Vermont's Past.